1 Peter chapter 4. Now here Peter is really dealing with an issue of talking about suffering and why we are not, and we're not exempt from suffering. You know, sometimes, and there's been those that says, you know, well, don't worry, you know, you don't have to go through all these experiences and suffer, and you know, Christ paid it all, which he did. I remember the very first time and someone told me about being saved and I don't have to have a care in this world anymore and I'm never going to have to go through trials or go through things in my life. If I just give my life to the Lord, everything's going to be fine for the rest of my life. That was a lie from the pit of hell. Man, I had more trials than what you could ever imagine and things that trialed my life. They've always been there, but the scales from my eyes were removed. But one thing that was different, Jesus was with me. And so here Peter is going to talk about some of these areas about since Christ has suffered, why should we not suffer? And, you know, we're not exempt from it, you know. And, you know, sometimes we believe because we're serving God that nothing's going to happen to our bodies. You know, have you ever heard that saying, why does good things happens to the bad and bad things happens to the good? You know, hey, we're all under this curse of sin. And we're all going to go through changes in our life. If Jesus and his disciples gone through changes in their life, who are we not to go through changes? The thing that we have today is that Christ will be with us and enduring with us. But however, how our suffering will bring obedience to our life. God will allow situations to happen that would cause obedience in our own lives. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, if you will, I'll just go ahead and read it to you. But Hebrews chapter 12, let me get there here. No, I can't find Hebrews. There it is. Okay. Pages are getting stuck here. 12, verse 11 says this. Now, no chastising for the present seems to be joyous. You know, when we go through changes in our lives, chastising doesn't seem joyful. When God has to discipline us because of bad choices, circumstances that arise in our lives. And it says, no chastising for the present seems joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them are exercised by it. When you receive it and you realize that, Lord, I totally blew it here. We realize that what God had tried to show us is something that says, wow, I've learned something. And, you know, I always tell people through circumstances and trials that we endure in our lives brings character. You know, until we've gone through something and we experience and we take it, says, Lord, I don't understand why. And it says, remember in James talks about every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Even the chastising of the Lord is good for us because it keeps us in the narrow place where we need to be. Some of us, when we're given grace, we take it for granted. And so God just pulls the reins back in and says, hey, no, this isn't going to happen. So he tells us in this area that you need to be careful because the simple fact that in the discipline brings that character, but you have to receive. If you just go, my Lord, I don't like it, and we groan through, you know, we kind of moan and groan through the whole thing, then when it's over, it's like, well, I'm glad for it. What did we learn through it? We weren't joyful, and I'll tell you, going through trials is never a joyful thing. But we try to learn, says, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this? And so there are some valuable lessons that God does do and allows us to use in our lives when we go through things. But now over in here in Galatians, we see that in chapter 2, verse 20, I believe it is, tells us this. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. That life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we look at these situations and circumstances. He says, look, I'm crucified. My life is laid out before God. The things I was engaged in are no longer part of my life. I'm crucified. That old man is crucified with Christ. It's nailed to the cross. It's dead. He says, I live not I, but Christ in me. The glory of hope that's in our life, that we have a whole new life. You know, the enemy will try to remind you of your past and how wicked you were. And how evil. You know what? He's absolutely right. Some of us were very wicked and evil. And we had evil thoughts. And we did some evil things. But those things are far gone. But he's going to try to remind you. Hey, who are you? Look what you did. And how could you forgive someone after you did this? And how could you do this when you did all this in your past? But hey, that's covered under the blood of Christ. He says, but I live now. And he says, in the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith. I live according to what God has promised me, the hope of glory, not according to my old former lifestyle. I don't have to refrain back to the old lifestyle because I can refrain from that. It says, no, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to partake nor allow myself to engage in any type of madness that would cause me to jeopardize my relationship. And so we have to see that we have this new body and we have this new relationship, but we're also going to go through situations and circumstances. We don't get where we are as Christians by not going through trials and storms in our lives. You want to be a mighty man of God, a woman of God? You know, sometimes we have to embrace these trials that we go through, these storms that we engage in. We go through those, but God teaches us and refines us. So as we get into our text this evening, let's pray. Father, I pray you would minister to all of our hearts and our lives. And I pray as a people, Lord, we would be careful to give you all the praise. Give us ears to hear. Minister to our hearts, Father. Show us where we need to correct areas in our lives, things that we need to remember, the things that you brought us out from, but also the important area that, Lord, that we're not exempt from suffering and going through trials. And that, Lord, and all because we're going through something doesn't mean we're not living right. So, Father, I pray you would just speak to all of our hearts and all of our lives and minister to each and every one of us right where you would have us, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, and this is the thing, too. Sometimes, you know, when we go through things and people are, you know, and sometimes it's the immaturity, and other times is people speculate a lot and they spiritualize the situation when you're going, there must be sin in your life. And some, it could be very well, there could be. But, you know, a lot of things, because we go through things in our life doesn't mean there's sin in our life. And we go through a trial. But if there is something and someone says, hey, that's because you're sin, don't freak out. You know, just, wow, that must be a word from the Lord. And you know what? Just take it as it is, get it right, and let's move forward. But here, this is over in 1 Peter 4, it says, for as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself. He said, look, as much as what he went through, you look at the last 3 years of his life, which really intensified a lot of things, the opposition. Do you know why he spoke in parables? You know, sometimes we look at these parables and we kind of like, man, why didn't he just come out and just say what he had to say? Because the Pharisees, the heathens, the scribes were always trying to trick him. You know, I don't know if you got families or friends that are always trying to throw a little nudge in the, hey, what about this? How would you have, oh, you're a Christian. That's how you think, you know? And they always try to throw little darts in there and tries to kind of offset you, you know? Try to catch you somewhere and make mockery. Well, they did that and they threw things. Well, in the law of Moses and according to the scriptures, and they always came out. So Jesus spoke in parables. Mainly, it confused them because they didn't know what to say. And it was very wise. So these parables that we have are really important. And as we see and as we break it down, we're like, wow, you know, he spoke in parables for a reason. And that's because the scribes and the Pharisees really couldn't come back at him because they would always try to bring, like, quote, the letter of the law and say, well, are you saying that we can break the law of Moses? Are you saying, you know, and so he would speak right back at them. And they were like, they couldn't understand that. You know, great illustration, even when the woman was caught in the act of adultery. And they all had stones ready to stone. But then he says, you know, and he starts writing in the sand, and many may think he's probably writing their names, all the others that have committed adultery. And he says, what? And he who, you know, has no sin, cast the first stone. And Nino's like, what do you mean? What a great illustration. He didn't just rebuke them to refrain from that. He didn't tell them, who are you? He just says, he that's without sin, cast the first stone. And I'm sure in that sand, that in the dirt, the sand, whatever it was, he was probably writing their names. And they're like, whoa. And all of a sudden, rocks started dropping. You know, reality started to come. How he used the parables and illustration of just showing. So when he says, for look, as much as Christ has suffered for us, it wasn't for himself, but for you and I. He says, and then he says, likewise, with the same mind, he tells us first, arm yourself, be ready, because trials will come your way and you're going to be tried in certain elements in your life. He says, but in the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You know, when you've gone something through your life and God brought great deliverance, I mean, and when you're truly delivered. See, there's some people, you know, over the years in counseling, some people, I'm sorry, I blew it. And, you know, and they're really crying and you're like, okay, great. But there's some, they're crying because they're not crying because of repentance. They're crying because they were caught. And, you know, in those crocodile tears, and many times I had to say, hey, suck it up. Let's talk about this. And, you know, and they knew exactly. And God gives you that discernment. And, you know, and he says, look, but when you're delivered, what's amazing is that you have no desire to want to go back to that lifestyle. No desire to want to entertain those things again. Because, hey, why would I want to do that? I have a new relationship with Christ. I have great joy in what I'm doing and how I'm serving the Lord. Just think, look at us tonight. We're here. We're in church. We could be watching some weird movie on TV that's not even real. You know, but the idea, we're here opening the Word of God, that which is alive and joyful, the fact that what God is showing us. But he tells us, he says, look, when we've been delivered, hey, I cease from the flesh. I withdraw it. I don't have any pleasure. But there's some, they're like, still want to test the boundaries. And like, okay, I can serve God. And you know what? You're going to get caught. And you're going to get yourself into trouble. And it's going to cause a lot of pain. See, there's a lot what's called runners. You know, and when you find them out, they just take off. Because they don't like accountability. They got like what's called rabbit. They boom, they're gone. And so here, we need to be careful, because the simple fact, he says, look, he suffered in the flesh, has ceased from sin. When you know you've been delivered and you're fully in fellowship with the Lord, you're not going to entangle yourself. And we're going to see here in the next couple of verses with the things of this world. You're not going to allow yourself to be engaged in any of those situations or circumstances. Why? Because God brought deliverance. God brought healing in and through your life. And so in and through that, we see how he's brought that. And then he says here, he talks about, let me get it here. That we have, justified by faith, we have peace with God in Romans 5. And so here, he says, when we have a peace that passes all understanding in our relationship, in our fellowship with God. You know, it's like we have a whole new, you know, a whole new life, a whole new beginning that we have. He says, he that has no longer, he says in verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. You know, he says, look, you know what? For the rest of our lives, you know, we're not living according to the flesh of men, according to their standards. You know, some time ago, Patricia and I, we were wondering years ago when we were young in the Lord and people really influenced in our lives. And we were kind of really, you know, we were really thankful for a lot of things that people were coming about and sharing with us and encouraging us. But then we kind of like wondered, where are these people today? I mean, they're not in ministry no more. They're not serving God. And it was kind of a bummer. And I was really kind of like sharing, like, why? You know, they were so important in our lives. They helped us all this way. And now they're like out of the picture. And I didn't quite understand that whole concept of why they were gone. And but yet, what was interesting, some time ago, I remember I was preparing a message, and I came up to Ezekiel, and I was reading in Ezekiel, and I really got a message out of that I developed. It was Ezekiel 18. And it talked about those that have drifted away. And it just really ministered to me, because I thought about the people that influenced our lives who are not walking with the Lord. And I really kind of did that message really kind of dedicating to friends that were really inspirational in our Christian faith. And it talked about that, how Israel was like, why is it, Lord, that they can just come back? For some of them, they come back and you give them a chance to go, well, we lived our lives, all our whole lives, and why should they all of a sudden just come in? For some of us, you know, some of us, we lived a reckless life and we did all the things we want to do. And then we walk into the church, we get saved, and people are looking like, I've been here, you know how many years I've been at church, and all of a sudden you come in, you get saved, and now you're being used? You know, and there's that little kind of jealousy of, you know, like, this is not fair. And God had to rebuke Israel and says, who's not fair, O house of Israel? Is not my way fair and your ways unfair? And he just talked about repentance, about coming back to your first love, and really being engaged with the Lord, and God just saying, hey, you know what? Let me give you a new heart. Let me give you a new spirit. And that was towards the end of chapter 18, of just saying, let me just give you another chance in life. And sometimes that's what we need, another opportunity, another chance to get things right. You know, and maybe we stumbled along the way and we just tripped up and says, God, you know what? I just blew it big time. And, you know, and God, as he was on the cross, arms are open. Let me just love you. Let me just encourage you. Let me just bring you back to where your first love is. And let's get it right. Because sometimes it's so easy to run, because why? We're embarrassed. We're ashamed. And we know that people knows. But that's okay. Because the one we should be concerned about is not so much of each other, but of him who really cares and loves us. And he wants people that's in our lives to what? Hold us accountable. And to have us to be where we need to be, that he may what? Love on us and encourage us. So it's very important of that. And so he says, look, that the rest of his time in the flesh is not to, you know, is to live in the lust of him, but in the will of God. That you now, God wants you not to live no longer in the lust of your flesh, according to man's, you know, disease, but I want you to live in the will of God, doing God's will. Over in Galatians chapter 5, first one says this, Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He goes, what? When God sets you free, don't get yourself back into bondage. He's brought you out of bondage. Enjoy that freedom. You know, some of us, man, we get ourselves right back into bondage. And it's like, why did I even do that? Why didn't I even go there knowing better than what I should have? And sometimes he said, look, if I brought you out of this, you know, relationship's a big thing. You know how you couldn't wait to get rid of that guy that was no good? Then all of a sudden, a week later, that's a long time for some of you, a week later, no, Lord, forgive me, but there you are, you find another guy just like him. You know, it's like, what's up with that? Or saying, you know, I don't know why I'm drawn to this type of guy or this type of girl. It's our flesh. You know what always amazes me? It's when you see someone that are totally opposite. And you're like, how did that happen? And you know, and it's like, because it's a God thing. And it's, you're looking at the inward heart of people. And you see them loving Jesus, and it's all about the Lord. And you're not looking so much, hey, these physical beings that you're thinking, well, yeah, she looks great. Hey, wait 10 years. Oh, he looks handsome. He works out. Yeah. That's going to drop real quick. Just wait. You know, because if you're basing everything on the flesh will let you down every single time. Hey, my body's gone through changes. My head goes through changes. Every morning I'm thinking, how much longer am I going to have what's on my head? And now I'm thinking about, do I shave my head completely? Or do I just kind of roll with it? Or do I let it grow and flip it to one side? You know, and it's like, I'm thinking of all these different things. And it's like, why, Lord? What did I do wrong? You know, and it's like, hey, these bodies are going to go through changes. Especially when you hit 40, things happen. And let me tell you, it starts progressing along the way. And you find yourself in doctor's office all the time. The doctor's becomes your best friend. Hey, doc, you even got a cell number, you know? And it's just like, it's amazing how things change over the course of life. But he says, look, don't entangle yourself again with the yoke of bondage, with bondage, because God brought you out of it. He says, for in time past, in verse 3, our lives may have suffered us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. You know, we got caught up in a lot of the madness, and we realized what we did and how we engaged in a lot of things that maybe we look back and we're not so pleasant and not so happy of choices and things that we allowed ourselves to be engaged in. And we're like, wow, man, I can't believe I did all those things and was part of some of those radicing of those weird things and things that allow myself to get involved in. He goes, but when we walk in lavishness, lust, excess of wine, reveling and yet carousing, an abomination of adultery, he says, look, this was something weird. Now, over in Numbers 25, verses 1 through 3, it talks about how God was really upset with Israel. They started to go on with Moab and getting things, and they have called everybody to let's come and worship. Everybody worshiped their gods, however you felt led, and Israel went and partaked of it. And it said that God was very upset with their behavior, and how? Because you know what? The compromise. Sometimes we see, and it's so easy because, well, it's my background, I can't say no, 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 no. You got to realize, that's why when we're in the Word, it's so important. Not only do we should be in the Word every week, you know, through Sunday and Wednesday night church services and throughout the week, because it's going to balance us when things come our way. Can you imagine only one instant? I tell people this here. It takes years to build character in your life. Years to sustain our walk and our commitment of the things that God has done and transformed and the witness that we become to our families and to our loved ones and to our co-workers and to our children. And it only takes seconds to destroy everything. And just because of the compromise, seconds to destroy. I've watched so many people's lives destroyed and being destructive because of poor choices, because of the compromise. Because we think, well, it's not hurting anybody. Just, no, no, it hurts everybody. And so he tells us this. He says, look, the life that we lived and the lavishness that we did and the excess of wine and all the things that we engaged in ourselves. He says, it wasn't good. Nor was it healthy. Because it caused a lot of it. And, you know, and this is the exhortation to Christians who are maybe living a double life standard. And maybe here, even tonight, there are some things that we don't think it's not really so bad, but we've got some issues that we got hang-ups on, you know, and we got issues that are just hanging over us. And it's like, God wants you to get rid of it. Those little things that may seem to be minor develop into major issues in your life. And then he tells us in verse 4, in which they think it strange that when you run, not with them to the same kind of evil excess of rioting, speaking evil of you, you know, all because you don't go and do and chew as they do, they turn against you. I always tell people, look, especially when you're working among non-Christians, don't start engaging in the conversation. It's okay if you know, high and all this, but you start partaking. You know, you stand around and listen to the jokes. All because you're not saying anything. They see you there. They know who you are. You know, did you go to church? You know, whatever. But when you start, you laugh along with them, they kind of got you into the crowd. And you got to be careful, because I see this happen among many Christians. Oh, I like my job. The guys are there. You know, they don't go to church, but we all kick it together. I bring them, you know, and we got to be careful, safeguard when we do these things, because before you know it, let's go. Come on, we're going to go get a drink down the street. Oh, no, I don't think so. Oh, now you're too good. And, you know, conversation-wise. And they innuendo jokes. And all of a sudden they get a little too... As a matter of fact, I just dealt with one of a pastor that came up and says, Mark, I don't know what to do. I had the situation and at first it was okay and they respected, and then I don't know what happened, but now they're kind of teasing me and they're kind of crossing the barriers. And I said, and it was a situation where I said, you need to take it to HR. And I said, but the sad thing here is that you engaged in something here. And he goes, I did. And it's sad, because we start off meaning well, but their intention is totally different than yours. And this is what he's saying. Hey, look, you know what? And in which I think it's strange that you run not with them. You'll be, why can't you hang out with us? You know, why can't you? And I remember, this is something I always, and I use this as a testimony. I remember when I got released back in the early 80s, I went, I stood with my sister for a few weeks, kind of just get the adjustment of things. And then I went to my dad's house. And I was only for a couple hours. And within that couple hours, I get up at the front door. So I get up and I answer the door. And it was one of the guys from the neighborhood. Hey, Mark, I said, and in my mind, how did you know I was here? I mean, I just got in town just a few hours ago. And he says, oh, come on, let's go. We're going to go and party. And I said, hey, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm a Christian. It's okay, come on. And there was a carload of people, and one of the girls, hey, Mark. And I'm looking, and I said, hey, is that so-and-so? Yeah, she's been asking about you. Now, mind this is a girl that I wanted to go out with for a long time. And we never went out. And all I heard, hey, Mark. And I said, no, I can't do it. And I closed the door and I went back to sit down. And my pops goes, hey, son, who was that? Oh, just some guys. And he goes, son, you've been gone for a while. Why don't you go ahead? Go with the fellas. I'm thinking... I said, no, Dad, I'm just going to kick it here with you. Son, go ahead, go. Really, Dad? You sure? And now I started getting anxious, and okay, all right, Dad, tomorrow we'll watch wrestling, because our thing was watching wrestling. And I said, all right, we'll hang out tomorrow. And I went out there, and all I seen was the taillight of the car going down. I said, oh, man. But so those things, how the enemy just tries to draw you in. I'm glad that happened. Because who knows where I would be. But see, the enemy is so slick to bring things into your way, to blind you. And so many times I remember in the church and social barbecues, all these different things. I said, and singles, and I just like, no. And they were doing all these functions, going to the beach and late night barbecues and, oh, this is fun. God says, no, I want you to stay home and read. Why? And I would say, and I would hear stories the next day. Oh, they had a great bonfire and doing all this stuff. And I was just sitting, hearing the word. And I looked back and said, man, Lord, I didn't know how you were just protecting me, how you were putting me aside for the things you wanted me to know. I looked back and I said, I don't regret it. At the moment I did. Because I didn't understand what God was doing. And many times we may not understand what God's doing, but there's a reason and a purpose. Later on, you'll see what it is. And you're like, wow, Lord, how you protected me over the years. How you watched over me. And these are some of the things, the added blessings that we sometimes don't understand. Because at that moment, it's about being selfish. Why can't I do this? Why can I not do that? And why I have to do it this way? Because there's a reason. And there's a reason that God wants it that way. And he says, look, you know, the fact is that others, you know, as well, you know, and there's people that will just speak evil of you. You know, oh yeah, he says he's a Christian, but look, he was listening to jokes. He even threw some jokes in there himself. You know, but at the time, oh, how's it going? And then you walk away and you hear in the background, oh, see, I told you, look. And you know what? And it grieves your heart when things like that happens, because it's not so much about us, it's how we are representative of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you and I, and how he paid the ultimate penalty for all of our sins. I don't want to grieve any more than what I've already grieved the Lord and how I live my lifestyle, choices that I've made. But all I want to do now is to serve him with all my heart unconditionally, to know that he is the priority of my life. And as long as I got this going on with him and I've given him my 110%, everything like this in my life will be balanced out. And that's what God wants us to do. Get this here with our heart, our life right with him. And everything in your life, your marriages, your relationship will be leveled out the way it needs to be. God will make sure it's taken care of. So many of us, we're like kind of, we need to tilt that where it comes lined up with the Lord. You know, and some of us, we struggle with that. We struggle to make it him the priority. But then he tells us, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead? Who shall give an account to him? Every one of us is going to give an account for our actions, good or bad. Believers and non-believers. I mentioned a few weeks ago about the Bema Seat of Christ. As Christians, we're not have to worry about the accountability, whether we're saved or not. It's about, we're going to be, as Christians, judged according to our deeds. And what I mean by our deeds is about our action. Our word, fellowship, ministry-wise. We're not going to be, whether we accept Christ, because we already did. The great right throne of judgment is going to be for the unbelievers. The rejection of Christ. And you know, when we, as the Bema Seat of Christ, that we're going to stand before God, and some of us have just barely made it. Says, as long as I can barely make it in, I'm okay. But when you barely make it and you get in there like, man, why did I do this? And how come I didn't serve more? You know, and it's just like, hey, this is why it's so important even now for us to serve God as much as we can and do as much as we can. When I became a Christian, as maybe many of us, Lord, how can I be used? You know, some of us, but I'm not experienced and I don't know a whole lot. Hey, God will teach you everything you need to know. Just make yourself available. You know, I remember says, you know, and I've always asked, Lord, why me? And it's like, because you had a heart to want to be used. And I was, hey, I'm here. How can I be used? I just want to be used the Lord. I want to, hey, God, you want me to do this? I'll do this. Because why? It's to make yourself available. And when you make yourself available, see, that's what God, he's not looking for the intellectual, the elegant speaker. He's looking for the person who has heart. He's looking for the availability that wants to be used. That says, God, I'm right here. See, I was a good soldier for the devil, and I served him very, very well. And if I served him as well as I did, why can I not serve God even better? And so, shortly after, God took me out of the devil's trophy case and put me into his trophy case. Why? Because the availability of my heart, that I just wanted to be used. There was people, you know, I always sat in the back, and I still do. But I always sat in the back, because that's where all the heathens sat. But if it fits, no. But because I never sat in the front, of course, all the nerds sat in front. No. Of course, no nerds here today. No. But, you know, I just, you know, to me it was like, I was just never, I wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed. And I just like, okay, and I just figured, well, there's no way. I mean, to me, I looked at the people, and there were people that had seven colors of pins in the front pocket. And I just thought, oh, this happens in the Christian church too? You know, and it's just, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I drove truck for a while. I drove for John Vandekamp's, and I used to haul frozen orange juice in fish sticks. Made a lot of money back in the 80s. I mean, I was making 10 bucks an hour back in the 80s. And it was like, okay, this is, I guess I'm going to be a trucker for Jesus, and that's what I'm going to do. And that's what I did for a while. And I was okay with it. And then God started doing some things. And I just like, okay, you know, and I was just one of those persons just sat in the back and just wanted to be used of the Lord, and he started using. You know, I had the ability of other things, and but then all of a sudden things started changing and things started happening. But see, that's what God looks at, your heart. Are you willing to serve? Are you willing to step up to the plate? You know, some people, well, I don't know, because we're afraid of commitment. We're afraid of responsibilities. Oh, I don't know if I can commit. You know what? You just got to do it. You got to jump feet and hand all the way into it. Says, let's do it, man. We're going to do it. And when you do it, you feel it. Oh, man, it's not as bad. You know, and that's what you sometimes have to realize to do. You just got to jump right into it and say, let's do it. And you'll be amazed of how God will use you. You think you've got no talent, no gifts? God says, hey, you got talent, you got gift. Because see, even when Moses was trying to reason with the Lord, you know, and Exodus 4. You know, Lord, and trying to tell the Lord, who am I to address Pharaoh? You know, I'm of slow speech, and I have this, and I have that. And God looks at Moses and says, didn't I make the dumb blind? He goes, just open your mouth, and I'll do the rest. And you know, and that's what God wants us to do. To open our mouths. To trust him. Let him do the rest, and he will do it. He just wants the availability of your heart to say, God, I'm here. Sometimes your neighbors just need to be reached out. Sometimes you got those rural kids in the neighborhood that I said I live in, and we got some neighbors that are, you know. Sometimes you just got to invite them. Hey, can you go? You want to go to church? We have an outreach. We got a breakfast going on this Sunday. I'll be happy to buy you breakfast at church. Will you come with me, and I'll pick you up. I'll drive you. Yeah, would you like to come to a Wednesday night? Hey, if you're not doing it, I see that you're not working maybe tomorrow morning, Thursday morning. You got to hear James. James is a unique character. He can teach. And you know, just inviting. Sometimes we get so close to, you know, classic phobia that we just go in our house, out of the house, in the house. We don't even say hi to the neighbors because we're afraid they're going to ask us something. Hey, neighbor, how you doing? Hey, would you like to join me at church? Or venture out, go two houses down. Ask the neighbor two houses down. Hey, can I take your kids to church, Sunday school? You know, we need to somewhat be evangelistic in our approach and just let God use you. You'll be amazed. Oh, really? What, can I? I'll go. Yeah, my kids will love to go to church. And that's a way getting the kids when they get going. And I'll say, hey, Mom, you should go to church. It's great. And you start, you know, and all of a sudden, you're buying a minivan. Because you got to get all the kids in the neighborhood. Pick them up. You know, it's no longer a soccer mom. It's a church mom, you know. And you're picking everybody in the neighborhood and bringing them to church. Because God's using you. And so he says, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead? You know, it's like, are you willing to give an account? And to God, who can judge both the living and the dead? We know the living is us, and those that are dead, judgment is there. Those that die without the relationship with Christ, final judgment is over and done with, and they stand before God and be judged according to their deeds by the rejection, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, because the total failure of rejection of Christ in their lives. But you and I that have breath and have life, we haven't got there. And for you that accepted Christ, as man, I'm glad that's off my checklist. I'm with the Lord and I'm serving God. For me to live is Christ and to die is to gain. So I'm in an all-win situation when it comes to the relationship with the Lord. To be able to love with all of my heart and serve him, the opportunities that I have to be able to express my faith and my love and what I do. He says, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to the Spirit, to God in the Spirit. He says, look, for this cause the gospel is preached. Can you imagine here we have an opportunity? The gospel is preached to us. Think back to the fact where the seed was planted. And I look back and I remember years I didn't understand, but I remember how God used a certain person And when I used to wrestle, I remember a guy, he was a Christian, and he always wanted to talk to me about the Lord. And I didn't really think much of it. I just told him, hey, I don't want to hear that stuff anymore. And I was, you know, but how that seed was got planted. And then later on, others started coming and didn't realize how this whole storyline was being built. But as I look back now, God put instrumental people in my path to bring the gospel to a person that was dead, but now alive according to the word of God and according to God. Many of us were dead in our own sin. And we were given another chance. And think about those that were instrumental in your life. I've heard of praying grandmothers for praying for their children for 20 years, 15 years. A good friend, I mean, I missed his birthday. We had a celebration of our graduation, our men's and women's home graduates. But Ken Massey, I think that maybe Ken Massey, good friend of both Patricia and I. I worked with his wife, Cheryl. We worked at CRDF at Linwood Custody, and I was the administrator in the department. But Ken was years ago. Back in 1977, he used to sit in front of our house in the squad car and pray for our entire family. You know, we were out at lunch, and I think we were having dinner with him and Cheryl, and he said, you know, Mark, I was praying for your family for a lot of years. He goes, you guys were a terrorized family, and I knew nothing was going to stop you guys except through prayer. And, you know, I look back how way back in then, interceded for years, just praying. An officer from the LA County Sheriff's Department just literally prayed. And then over the years, our friendship started to develop. And then when they see me come on staff in the Sheriff's Department, things started to change. And, you know, and it was amazing how God just transformed and how he puts people in your life to pray. And you may cut someone off the road, and that person's, and that could be a believer. And you know what? You became on that person's prayer list. Now that person's praying for your salvation. You know, so it's like some of us, we don't even realize where it all started. It could be that person you cut off the road and just says, Lord, I pray for that person. And all of a sudden, you know, over the course of many years, things starts to develop. Because we were just a wicked person. We're dead to the flesh, to this world. And you know what? We became alive when the day we accepted Jesus Christ into our life. He removed the scales from our eyes and we're able to see. We have a new direction, a new hope. We've got a new spirit, a new heart. Some of us, man, we had a stony heart. We had an evil heart. And we had some evil thoughts. And God just gave us a heart of flesh. And able to love again and able to forgive and be able to function. And it's like, wow, God, you are so awesome of the demonstration of God's love that he poured out to each and every one of us. Now we have an opportunity to give that back. We have an opportunity to pray for people and pray for people in our neighborhood and people in our workplace and people around us, that we have an opportunity to really pray and pray for that moment and that time that we can say, hey, I would like to invite you to church. I would like to have you come out. You know, this is a great opportunity, especially when we have ladies' functions here. There's a lot of hurting young ladies out there, single ladies that just, you know, they need to be reached out to. They're not going to come just right to you or right to the church. They need someone. Can I invite you to church? We have a special function today in church, and we'd like to have you be my guest. Would you come? I'll come pick you up. Be amazed at what feedback you would get. You'll be amazed of how many people would respond. It says, you know what? I really thank you. I can't maybe this week, but check on me again the next event. Don't give up hope to what God wants to do and how God may use you. He says, hey, those that are here might be judged according to men. People look at you that your life is gone. You know, how many times have you heard that? Oh, you become one of those? You're dead. You got no life. Your life becomes boring. And that's how they look at it. Because you know what? To me, what you see me up here, I'm like this all the time, with even out of the podium. I love my relationship with the Lord. I really do. I've been walking with it for quite a few years, and nothing to me, it's just, when I'm up here, I'm the same way at home with people, family, friends, whatever it may be. Because to me, I just enjoy my relationship. When I go to the airport, I always wear a Christian t-shirt. I become a living billboard for the Lord. Because why? I love the Lord, and I'm not ashamed to advertise that. You'd be amazed of how many comments I've got over the years of seeing something written on, what does that mean? Oh, I'm glad you asked. And man, just start talking to them about this. Have you ever thought, you go to church? Oh no, but I have a family member. Oh, so does he invite you? The thing about him, never got invited. But it just brings a way of communication. And I always bring copies of my books, or books that I've written. I say, can I give you a book to read? And you know, and to me, because I know sometimes people, well, why don't you give me a little New Testament? Sometimes they get blown away. They're like, they freak out. You know, when they're not walking with the Lord, you give them, they try to, you know, and they're like, that's okay. But you give them a testimony book. Oh, what's this book like? It's about a guy that was on drugs, businessman that lost everything. Oh, yeah, that'd be great. You know, and it's just ways of tools of evangelism. It's just making yourself available. Let God do the rest. You'll be amazed how he will use you. That's the beginning. Next week, this becomes one of, this passage here, these three verses or that I'm going to share next week, or the two verses, is really key points, some really good nuggets. To me, this is probably a lot of our walk of when we blow it, when we, you know, we look back and says, man, this is where Peter got himself in trouble. Peter gives his own eulogy here. You know, his life is required. Nero is a very wicked, wicked man. He's going to crucify Peter. Peter knows it. He calls the church together. And he tells them what to expect. But he reflects back of his failure. And you know, and sometimes we look at that and says, man, how would you like to be remembered? You know, you're the honored guest. In fact, this Saturday we have one of our graduates, Jennifer, who graduated from the House of Esther, lived a beautiful life and a servant of the Lord. She was a home care person that took care of a lot of people in the church. And she passed away just by a brain aneurysm a few weeks ago. And so this Saturday I'm going to be doing her memorial service. And just that, celebrating her life, you know, and how many lives she's touched. She graduated from the House of Esther. And, you know, and how she was a blessing to so many. The night before at her church up in Morro Bay, she was passing out food the night before at the church, giving food away. And that later that night, she had a brain aneurysm. I got a call from her husband, Jerry, who was a graduate of our men's home, crying on the phone, just saying, Pastor, she's gone. And so we had some time of talking and praying, but things happen. But you know, she's in the Lord's hand. And just last week, he texts me and says, even through her death, she was in victory. She was a donor, and her heart went to somewhere in Maine, and her other parts of her body went here. And says, even in her death, she still gave of herself. You know, we look, you know, the victorious life as Christians. You know, and it's making our life count. So let me just end up by saying this. I don't know where you are tonight. We had a great Thanksgiving, a lot to be thankful for. We're entering a season of joyfulness and the atmosphere. I love this time of the season, the transition of all that's taking place. But this is, Lord, I just want to finish this year, and I want to finish it well. And I just want to enter going into to this year, ending this year, ending it right. I have some struggles maybe this last year, and maybe some pitfalls in areas that I kind of blew it at. Well, we're going to be up here, Sally and Pastor John and Eric and myself and Danny. And we're here to pray with you. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. If you're going through something, man, hey, there's nothing wrong with being prayed for. And the only thing that keeps you from being robbed of a blessing is yourself. And so if you'd like to be prayed, we're going to be up here. We're going to pray with you. So make your way up, and we're going to worship a song. We're going to have a song, and then and as we sing, we're going to go ahead and just come up here. We're going to have some prayer. All right. Where's Josh? Where are the Wiggles? What was that guy? Where's Jeff? My little Hannah, you love Jeff. Where's Jeff? Where's Jeff? And he was always asleep. Josh is probably asleep. That's all right. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you. We want to thank you, Father. And I just pray that, Lord, tonight that you would speak to all of our hearts. Minister to us, Father. Pray that you would just really press upon us if there's some things that we just need to get right and to be prayed for. And Lord, not allow situations or circumstances to struggle within ourselves. But the Father, that you would minister to each and every one of us, Lord. So have your way with us tonight, Father. Speak to us. May you just come, our spirit. That you would just go before us, Father. And Lord, as we pray, may you minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, why don't you just pray if you want. Let's just kind of dim the lights a little bit. Let's just be in prayer for those that pray. And hey, praise God for technology.